Got a little better than halfway through it. I told you that I knew y'all well enough to know about the halfway point, didn't I? So we about hit it right on the target this morning. And we dealt with the raising of Lazarus. What a miracle that was. Of course, Jesus in Scripture recorded that we have recorded raised three people from the dead. Lazarus, the last that he had risen, has raised from the dead just before he has risen himself, just prior to Calvary. And this is the great miracle that he performed. Now, I believe the Bible. I hope you don't have a problem with that. But I believe the Bible. You say, well, you have to. You're a preacher. Theology, you have to believe it. I know lots of preachers that don't believe it. I don't call them preachers, but they think they're preachers that don't believe that this happened the way that it's recorded in Scripture. But I believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We dealt a little bit with that this morning. And to prove to you that it's something that's not only theologically correct, but this is a miracle. I mean, from every standpoint, this is a miracle. Hey, Dr. Tim Mine, stand up. Would you do that? Boy, isn't he a good-looking fella. Huh? Janine, aren't you glad to have him? Aren't you glad to have her? He's a doctor. I'm not. Now, let me ask you something, doctor. Would this be a miracle if someone was dead 4 days in the morgue down here and they came to life? Would that be considered a miracle? Absolutely. There you have medical verification of it right there. He's a doctor and he says medically that would be a miracle because it is a miracle. We talked this morning about how distressed they were, but in their distress, they knew to call the doctor. They got a hold of Jesus. Said, if you get here in time, he won't die. But he delayed 2 days. And I dealt a little while this morning with the fact that delay doesn't always mean denial. That when the Lord moves, he moves according to his time clock. And there was a purpose for that. Because when he got there, being dead 4 days, the Jews believed that the soul and the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days, and on the third day, it took its flight to Abraham's bosom. So he waited until all hope was gone to perform this miracle. And that's where we left you at this morning with Jesus weeping and why Jesus wept. Now tonight, let's look, if you will, in verse 39. I'm not going to read all the scriptures that we read this morning again, but verse 39, we get down to really the basis of the miracle. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Chapter 12 and verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Well, we dealt with the distress, his delay, with the death of Lazarus, but tonight we come to the glorious deliverance, being raised from the dead. This miracle, even as wonderful as it is, the concept of the Lord's teachings for this miracle to happen is still the basis in our life if we want to see miracles today. First of all, there was the preparation for the miracle. Jesus said, take the stone away. Now, he didn't have to command them to take the stone away. He could have easily spoken the word and the stone would have been moved. But he wanted them to do something by faith to show their faith in him. And over again in Scripture, you'll find that every time Jesus does something miraculous, he always has them to demonstrate their faith. It is just this simple. If you put forth no faith and no effort, then you'll see no miracles in your life. We heard a testimony this morning from Terry. And in that testimony, I don't know if you caught it or not, but she said she was so fearful. But finally the Lord said, "Will you give that to me?" And by faith, she gave that to him. And she said, immediately, the fear was gone. The Lord will always have us do our part. God wants to bless us, but he also says we have to put in the effort to see the blessings come. So he said, that's the preparation. Then come the intercession. Jesus said he never got out of touch with heaven. He said, "Lord, you hear me always. You know, and I've already talked to you about this, but Lord, I'm asking this out loud so that these that do not believe can see as well." Do you know if you wait until you get to church to get in touch with heaven, it's too late, friend. You need to be in touch with heaven constantly. Through all of your day, through all of your life, you need to come to the Lord and say, "Father, I know that prayer is an important part of my life. I don't have to stop what I'm doing and get on my knees to pray. The Lord can hear the cry from our heart while we're driving to work. He can hear the cry from our heart while we're doing our job. But the important thing is we need to pray, 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 and never stop praying." Amen. Great things happen when God's people pray. Then came the resurrection. After that, he spoke the words, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, not only was it a miracle that the blood began to circulate back in his body, but here was a man that was bound hand and foot, and he was at the entrance of that tomb. So not only was there enough power to give him life, there was enough power to raise him up as well from the dead. There's a lot of folks that think God gets glory out of their life by the position of the body that they take. People that are involved in meditation. People that are involved. You know, I went to a church one time, and I'm not making fun of them. I'm just telling you what they did. I never understood it. Maybe you understand it. When they called for prayer, whoever was going to pray, they all got up from their seat and ran to the outside walls and put their nose against the wall and prayed. You know, I couldn't pray for watching them. So finally I asked the pastor, I said, "Why do you do that?" "I don't know. They've always done that." So I asked the deacon, "Why do you do that?" "I don't know. We've always done that." Finally one fellow said, "Well, we heard a sermon one time, I don't know where it's at, but it's somewhere in the Bible, that God won't hear you unless you put your face against the wall." Now, that's not in my Bible. That might have been done in humility, and they might have had a pure heart while they was doing it, but I've got news for you. You can sit where you're at right now, ask God to move and help you with no matter what's going on in your life. And God will hear you if your heart is sincere. If you say, "Lord, I've done my part. I'm asking you to not only help me, but to raise me up." God doesn't save us to merely spend the rest of our life in the same position that we're in when we get saved. There's not only power to give us life, but power to raise us up. Up above the world, up above the cares of life, up above the struggles of daily hardship. God not only gives us life, but he raises us up as well. And then he said, loosing the liberation, the freedom. Boy, I love it when folks get loose. Don't you? I've read a lot about how they bound the bodies. I don't know which way is correct because there's about three or four different ways that they said they did it. Some was they put the legs together like one limb and wrapped them all up. put the arms down to the side and continued right up the rest of the body. One writer in history records they wrapped each limb individually and then put the limbs together and wrapped them over again. Then they would take a thin layer over the entire body and cover their face and wrap back up over their face, over their eyes, so that you couldn't see the corruption of the body as it would deteriorate. I do know this, it was impossible to move. So here was a man that had life, but he still couldn't see because a napkin was over his face. He still couldn't move his hands because they were bound to his side. He still couldn't walk or couldn't run because his feet were bound. Can you imagine how he must have felt when he was inside of that sin? Bless God, I want to run and I can't go anywhere. I want to shout and I can't get my hands up. Kind of like some of you sometimes. You just sit there fidgeting. And after service you say, whoa, preacher, I about hit the floor running today. Bless God, why don't you do it? You don't have to sit there, tell me about it after it's all over. If God's done something good for you, you have every right to praise the Lord. Oh, I love it when folks get loose and they begin to praise God. I think there was a lot of rejoicing that day. Not only did Lazarus rejoice, but Mary rejoiced, Martha rejoiced, Jesus rejoiced. I think the Lord's at His best in our life and most pleased with us when we praise Him for what He's done. If you lose that liberty in a church, it's over. It's over. It is so easy in a church to get in a routine, in your life to get in a routine, and leave God out of that routine. Liberty. There was that divine liberty. Then there were the proofs that Lazarus had risen from the dead. See, the Lord not only says that He did it, but He gives us proof that He did it. What was the proof? Well, first of all, have you ever seen a dead man eat? No, sir. Dead men can't eat. But the next thing we see in John 12 is Lazarus sitting at the table with Jesus having supper. Can you imagine the neighbors trying to get a peek in the window? I'd say every tabloid in the country was there with them big high-powered lenses trying to get through just one shot of Lazarus sitting at the table. They were thrilled with the fact that a dead man was eating. You know the first thing you want to do after the Lord raises you from your sins and transgressions, when you come to life in Jesus, you know the first thing you want to do? You want to feed and eat with Jesus. You want to feed on His Word. You want to have communion with Him. Not only was there communion, but there was a commotion. Because of that, a great number of them had heard and believed. And they started gathering around because not only did they want to see Jesus, but the text says they wanted to see Lazarus, the one that Jesus raised from the dead. Do you know that a changed life will bring people out to look at you? There's folks in this community, if they get saved and start coming to church, there'll be unsaved people come just to see if it's true. They'll want to see if that really happened to them. They've heard about it, so now they want to see it. They want to witness it. And it stirred a great commotion. And the folks got excited. And the word began to spread. And the next thing you knew, they were telling everyone. And that brought great confessions. Because a great number of the Jews saw it, heard it, and believed it. They went away. Went away from what? They went away from the teachings of Judaism to the teachings of Christianity. They accepted that Jesus was the Messiah. They were no longer looking for the Messiah. They could see the Messiah. He was sitting at the dinner table with Lazarus eating. They knew where He was at. And they began to confess that. And the word spread. I don't know if Bethany had a newspaper or not, but I venture to say somewhere in the midst of that newspaper, probably next day was an ad that read something like this. For sale, one slightly used coffin and a beautiful gravesite. Since Jesus came to visit, I don't need it anymore. Inquire at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany. Thank God that you need to get the word out that Jesus has done something in your life. Not enough for you to know it. Tell someone about it. Confess it. But then through that confession came conflict. The chief priests were already in a killing mood.
They were already starting to establish the plans. You read that close and you'll find out they decided, while we're at it, let's not only kill Jesus, let's kill Lazarus too. We've got to stop this. This is spreading. And the only way we can stop it is by killing the living testimony. If we can kill the testimony of what Jesus has done, then no more will leave. No more will turn from our belief to Christianity. So what we'll do, we'll kill their testimony. We'll kill Lazarus. I'm sure Lazarus is really worried about that, aren't you? He's probably saying, boys, I've already been there. I've crossed the Chili River. What are you going to threaten me with now? I've met the one that owns both sides of the river. And if he wants me here, I'm staying here. And if he wants me there, I'm going there. And there's no way that you can kill it. I tell you what, you ought to make up your mind. You're serving the one that you're going to follow him no matter what the world says, no matter what the devil brings your way to try to kill your testimony. You ought to decide, I don't care how big the mountains, I don't care how deep the valleys, I've made my mind up to go with Jesus. He owns both sides of the river. I'm not going anywhere till he calls me. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to serve him and follow him because he has given life to me. Amen. There will be conflict. Everybody won't be happy that you met the Lord. Everybody won't be thrilled that you're saved. Everybody won't be ecstatic that you're on your way to heaven. There'll be a lot of conflicts. You won't be exempt from heartache and from trouble. But thank God, you know what's waiting at the end of all of it. You understand a little better now why they put guards to guard the tomb of Jesus, don't you? I mean, if every funeral he met, he broke up, why couldn't he break up his own? This was something they couldn't control. Aren't you glad when God comes along and does something that's bigger than us? Isn't that great? I mean, when he comes along and just does something so dynamic and so big that we couldn't have even thought of it if we tried to. Isn't it wonderful to see God move like that? Sometimes we look at things and we think, boy, we'd like to see this happen, Lord, and that happen. But then God moves in areas that we can't even think of and does so much more than what we even thought of or even prayed for because he's God. Your struggles will come, but look at the end of all of it. Wendell Phillips was a great lecturer years ago while he was making his trips. One night he spoke in Philadelphia and lived in Boston. After he finished speaking, the rain was coming down. He was about to turn to sleet. And he started to make his journey home, and the people there said, oh, you need to stay. Wendell Phillips said, you don't understand. My wife has been an invalid for years. And I always made her a promise, as soon as I finished doing what God wanted me to do, I'd come straight home. He said, the weather's bad. There's no way that you can make it. It'll take you so long. It's dark. Look at the sleet. You'll probably have to find special transportation to even get you there. Why would you just wait until the morning? Why wouldn't you wait? And he looked at him with a smile on his face. And he said, because my lovely wife is at the end of that long, hard journey. And she'll be waiting for me. Oh, thank God. Sometimes through life, you'll hit some snags and snares and struggles. And the devil will say, throw up your hand and quit. Just say, I've had enough and don't go any further. But then the Lord reminds us, at the end of this long, hard journey we call life, that journey is going to be just as long and just as hard with God or without God. But at the end of all of it, our lovely Savior is waiting for us. Our friends and family that's gone on before us are already there waiting on us. And it's not just some blind alley that we're going through, but we know that death is the doorway that leads to eternity. And then we'll be on the blissful shores of God. Thank God, in a land of peace where we'll never never grow old. Our hair will never turn silver, and wrinkles will never streak across our face. Our joints will never grow stiff, and the seasons shall never change. But it shall light with the glory of God, and there'll be no sunlight darkness in that place, nor no sunlight, for He'll light the city with His love and with His glory. Thank God, I know what's waiting at the end of all of it. And yes, it's worth the trip. You have to decide, is it worth it? If you don't think it's worth it, then along the way you'll stop and rest. You'll journey off in avenues that you ought not travel down. You have to decide it's worth it. It's worth it. I was up at City Mission this afternoon. Brother Jimmy Kermeens made a statement there that I never really thought about it. He's been there 42 years now. The mission's 57 years old. Was started by an old preacher by the name of Raymond Leitner. When they started a building 20 feet wide. You imagine that, would you? 20 feet wide. Raymond Leitner, I was just a tiny, tiny boy when I saw pictures of him, and it's been years since I've seen any photos even taken of when he preached. And how, when he'd get happy, he'd preach on one leg, and they said he'd spin around. And they had an old furnace that, to try to make it look better, they put a big wood crate over the old furnace that sat in the middle of the floor to keep the building warm. And he loved to get in the spirit and jump up on top of that and preach. It's what he loved to use for a platform. Jimmy followed him. Last year at the mission, they fed and clothed and helped 4,800 families. Think about that. 4,800 families. And Jimmy, this afternoon, the church was filled and we had a wonderful service. But as Jimmy stood there with a tear in his eye, he said, "You know, every now and then I get to thinking about Brother Leitner and how he preached." And he said, "And Granny Jenkins that used to sit over here," and he named off one after another. And he said, "I sat down," and he said, "You know what? The mission is bigger on that side now than this side. God has blessed this church, but if we keep going, pretty soon there'll be more of us there than here." And he said, "I don't have some morbid death wish." But he said, "I do get a little excited when I get to thinking about when we all get home and gather together on the shores of glory and get to see the Lord the first time." And he said, "And I get to hear Granny shout again. And I get to hear Brother Lyon." He said, "He won't preach, but he'll still shout and spin on one leg. No sinners to preach to in the city of God." Oh, how we miss them, how they go. One by one, and soon you feel like there's more there than here. But hang on, children. This life isn't all there is to it. We have hope beyond the grave. We have a hope because just as sure as He performed the miracle of changing our lives and saving our souls and bringing us to life in Christ, there'll be another glorious miracle. And that is when we come down to that dark valley where the waters moan at the soul's last struggle. The child of God will look before them, and there the wonderful city of God will appear. And our Savior and all the loved ones that have gone home before are waiting at the end of the journey. Oh, bless God, I'm about to have a spell tonight. I'm saying we've got something to look forward to. This isn't all there is to it. There's more than this world with its heartaches and woes. And God says if you're not right with Him, don't look to the world to get your answer. Listen, there's something happening. There's a commotion right now in this world. Folks are confessing the Lord and God is moving. Why? Because we're coming near the end of time. Amen. Through my soul this week, a young lady I prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. Barry walked in, same store I was in early that morning. She told me where she lived. I wasn't even sure what area she lived in around here. She said, "Preacher, is there any good churches over where I'm at?" I said, "Well, sure." I told her some churches over there. Barry come in and we were talking about some of the preachers and how to find the churches. And she looked at me a little later on. She said, well, I didn't tell you the best part. She said, I went to visit my mother last night. And she said, I never made it to Mom's. She said, but I didn't get to see the Heavenly Father. She said, I pulled the car off and got right with God. And I need a church to go to Sunday. I need a place to worship God and to mature. I told her, I said, listen, it's never too far to Rubyville either. Just load up and come on over. Sometimes a drive is worth the difference. Amen. But I said, you get in church and you stay in church. Let me tell you, folks, there's a commotion right now. People are looking for something. And we ought to say, thank God, we've got the answer. We know the miracle worker. No matter what you need tonight in your life, God still performs miracles. He's still on the throne, and He'll help you tonight if you're willing to let Him. Let's stand together. Brother Howard, come. Let's sing tonight. If you're here and you're in need of prayer, I couldn't think of a better time to talk to the Lord than tonight. You've been waiting and waiting for your answer. But God says, put your faith in action tonight. Step out by faith. God will take that faith. And as you come by faith and pray, God will hear your prayer. Accept your challenge of faith and meet your needs in your life. But you're the one that needs to prepare for that miracle to come. You're the one that needs to be set free tonight. And the Lord will help you do that. Christian friend, if your heart is heavy, you ought to come and pray. Unsaved friend, let's get ready for the coming of the Lord. Let's be ready when God calls. Howard, what number do you have?
Page 71, the solid rock.
As we sing 71, why don't you come?